Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome everybody to week 32 on the 2022-2023 PGA Tour. This is the Smash Factor. We are at the RBC Canadian Open. It is my lunchtime on Tuesday, and quite the development. Did not plan on recording this late. Yesterday was crazy in general, all the way around. Then this morning, a couple work conference calls, things like that. Then I had to take little man to his summer junior league golf camp while they're working around. I was actually on a work call when the merger news broke. Because my phone was going off, and I mean, it was crazy. I made sure it wasn't my wife, something going on wrong or anything like that. Then after I got off the call, I kind of figured out what was going on, and certainly interesting. What I will promise you is this is not going to be most of the pod today, not even remotely close, because you guys are here to listen to the information that we continuously provided. I've stayed out of the entire political battle of LIV versus PGA, and not this time am I really going to get into it. I am interested to see, and have already seen, a massive amount of hypocrisy across the industry, whether it be golf media, DFS, content creators, all that. Certainly some people turning some 180s already, which I think is funny. And they're hypocrites, and they know it, but that's as far as that'll go. My fear, it is lunchtime. I think this probably, we're about an hour after it broke. I'll have this out a little later on this afternoon. My one concern, and almost pause recording it, but again, we're going to run out of time, right? It's already Tuesday, is withdrawals. You know, does something come of this? Do players, are they frustrated? Let's see what the meeting at 4 o'clock today looks like. I can see a bunch of withdrawals happening, potentially. Who knows? We already had a bunch because we knew this week more than any because of the U.S. Open qualifying. A lot of guys that do wind up qualifying on the longest day of golf end up withdrawing. So we've seen already 6-7 guys change hands. So we'll take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, plan on doing a final pod tomorrow, which would have a much clearer picture of the field and who may withdraw this afternoon or tonight. But again, it's about an hour after the news is broke. I have not seen anybody immediately withdraw, but I'm sure some will come. So if it does happen and I talk about them on here, apologize for that, but we're kind of, you know, tied to the situation, and that's all we can do right now. Certainly, you know, we'll cover everything with the premium content, make updates there. Final rankings, we'll have the final field and all that kind of stuff. We'll do the best we can. Be interesting to listen all afternoon, in the background, and then tonight after the aftermath of the meeting to kind of see what comes of that. As far as what we're normally here for, last week, a good week. Really a roller coaster weekend for me. I think I won about 3X on the week. Had a great Sunday showdown. Main slate went from like doing okay. Friday night looked really great, even after the cut. I think I was 2.5-3x the field on 6 of 6s. Sunday was horrible. Like, all my key pieces just didn't do well at all. And then the battle back Sunday definitely helped a ton. Took second in the listener league. And that same lineup was my bullet for the week. So every contest I was in, that lineup was in. So definitely made it a good week. And Sunday showdown wound up being, even though I faded Hovland, which normally don't, but he, you know, Sundays he's been kind of opposite of our old Sunday Hovs, still was able to make some good profit there. Another great weekend for me for NASCAR. So things, you know, doing well. We're doing well heading into the U.S. Open. That's going to be fun when you get everybody together in the same week. Can't imagine all the questions that week, let alone this week. But you're going to have everybody on site, all the LIV and PGA next week. That'll make it very interesting. So good week there. Bad week betting. I haven't recapped everything. Went 2-1 Sunday, which kind of helped a little bit. But full tournament matchups are 1-3, and I know a few others weren't great. So a little down week there. I'll get all that recap like I normally do and have it for the final thoughts. We'll look to bounce back this week, although I'm probably going to be weary of putting too many bets in until we see all the withdrawal stuff that could potentially happen. If you're thinking maybe a Rory does withdraw, he'd be the top of the leaderboard mind. You probably do want to get bets in because he'd be the one that would shake things up, especially those guys that are, you know, 15, 20, 30 to 1. They would come down quite a bit with him being such a high favorite. You want to join the website? Link's in the description. Certainly a good time to do it. I think you'd almost get up kind of close to the British or the Open, British Open, as we say over here. But join for a month. First week's free. If you don't like it, you can bounce. If not, you stick around. You'll get up to the British, almost to the British Open at this point. Lots of upgrades last week. We upgraded the live model leaderboards for Showdown. You can now click the guy's name right from the board, add them to your player pool in the Green Machine, and move on from there. Like you can do main slate, but now we've added it to Showdown as well, among other enhancements, and we'll continue doing them. So a lot of improvement there. Really happy with how we are so far. Listener League, links in the description. Last week's winner, Burnt Orange, 450 and a half. Solid lineup, Rom, Thigala, Siwoo, Scott, Jaeger, McCarthy. McCarthy, very good piece. So I took second, but McCarthy was his key there to kind of overtake me on Sunday. Very good lineup. Awesome. Hopefully, I think I saw him put some stuff in Slack, so I think he had it elsewhere, but I know he was pumped to get the Listener League takedown as well. Jump in now. Let's fill that up. We're, of course, at the RBC Canadian Open. 2020 and 2021, there was no tournament. 20, obviously, because of COVID, but still with some of the restrictions of traveling, all that, they didn't have it in 2020 either. So technically, Rory is the defending back-to-back champion. He just won it in 2019 and 2022. So if you see that, especially on my rankings and all that, you can kind of tell that there was nothing there. They alternated the course there, just kind of like we do U.S. Open and the Open, all, you know, changes around. This year is at Oakdale Golf and Country Club. Par 72, 7,300-ish. Looks like they can change up, you know, some tee boxes and stuff to make it shorter or longer. There's 27 holes on this property, so they mix and match between all sets of the nines to make this together. So only thing I'd advise there, if you're going to do a flyover, it's not going to just be like one set of 18 that's there. They kind of mixed and matched and made it the best they could. Three par threes, three par fives. Should be able to score well on the par fives for most. Should be able to get to them in two on a lot of them. Just a matter if they want to. So far, to some of the reports, obviously Feinberg, it's his country club there. So, you know, you can go, if you're not following him, you know, he has insight. It looks like he's going to be there almost every day. Thick rough. If you miss the fairways, green, some of it looks really thick. Really kind of the only defense to the course. Doesn't look like there's going to be much wind at all this week. Been super dry as of late. Should be fast and firm. Mainly bent grass greens. It looks like they have a POA mix, but I would say at this time of the year, it's going to play like bent if you're looking up any stats there. Expecting kind of high teens, low 20s wins it. Like I said, weather, slight chance of rain Thursday night, maybe some rain Sunday, but really that's it. Nothing that I see impacting, you know, waves and all that. We'll know more tomorrow, but really looks nice. Low 70s, light winds in general, couple little spotty rain chances, but outside of that, you know, nothing major. And Sunday, we really don't care about pre-cut. Thursday, we'll take a look at, right? Is it coming in early and they get an advantage? Does it come in super late and it doesn't matter? Or maybe it makes it soft for Friday morning. So, there is some chance there, but we'll attack that tomorrow as we get closer and closer to the lock. Cut, I have probably similar to last year, even though different course, there are some similarities. Probably, I could see it email from +1 to -1. So, you know, even would be kind of a good guess. I'd be in that range where I think it's going to be. I think the winner will be -19, -20. But I don't think it necessarily means it's going to be like a complete birdie fest. Even last year kind of seemed like a birdie fest. Rory winning it. Finau was second. But they were 19 and 17 under. But 10th place was 9 under. So, yes, birdies will still matter. And I think you're going to see some of that. You know, I think top 20 will probably be single digits. So it's not just like everybody will be up there at 16, 17, 18, 19 under. I think few of the elites and you know, this is a spread out field. Definitely, you know, strong up top, probably stronger than what some think. So far, I'm just going to ignore the whole what could happen today and withdrawals. But the middle and then the sixes are pretty thin overall, you know. And so I think you will need to score, but I think your fill-in pieces based on who you go up top, you know, 2-3 under a day, we'll probably get them, you know, where they're right in the mix, top 20, flirting with the top 10 type situation. As I mentioned, Rory's won the last two. DJ won 3 years ago. Well, I guess technically 2018. Vegas went back-to-back. Days won. These are all different courses. Now, that the run from 15 to 18 was all Glen Abbey. Some runner-ups, DJ, Rom, Watson, Finau. So, you know, hard to compare them to these courses, but just want to give, you know, prior winners there. Ranking or stats I'm looking at this week: good drive, stroke gain irons, opportunities at 18 feet, birdie or better, par 5 DK scoring, and good approach. Obviously, everybody's new to the course since 2017. This course has not been played on tour ever, I don't think. Salary ranges as it stands right now, obviously could change. 3-10K, 8-9K, 9-8K, 38-7K, and 84-6K. So, right now, only 20 guys price 8,000 and above. Really short there, and then it spreads out a lot down there in the 7 and 6K range. So getting those right are going to be crucial this week. Sweet 16, like normal. Fade of the week, sleeper of the week, some gut feel plays, betting top five and two top five of the pop and two long shots provided by Underdog and Prize Picks. And then my preliminary run and done, and we will get out of here. 9K and above, I'm going to start. I like Rose, 9,700. 12th at Charles Schwab, 9th at PGA, 4th at last year's, which was St. George. Really playing well. You know, you got the win earlier in the year. I kind of feel like he could go a little under the radar here, and I don't mind taking some leverage play there. We'll see. I don't really know. I didn't listen to hardly anything yet in the industry, and all that may be minute. Could be very interesting builds by the time tomorrow night if a lot of people's pods came out before the news today, and then potential, you know, you start getting massive withdrawals. Everything could be thrown up, you know, so we'll see how that works out. But I do like Rose this week in general. Fitzpatrick, loved last week, really starting to come back in form. I think he'll be primed to potentially defend his U.S. Open. $9,900. I like the pricing there, especially if you want to get off Rory. Maybe you can get both in, but, you know, we'll get to Rory in a second. But 10th last year, 2nd and 12th at his two prior RBC Canadian Opens, a 12th at PGA, or no, I'm sorry, missed cut at PGA, but 9th last week. He just seemed to click. You know, he had I think it was really bad round one, then a great round two, and then kept the momentum going for a top 10 finish last week. So I think he's a guy that when he starts putting it together, I want to be early on. And so I like Fitz this week. Cam Young is just I think we'll see potentially similar last week. I think we'll see some low ownership at that price. He missed the cut again, you know, coming down the stretch. You know, he just hadn't been able to get over that hump, you know, making some cuts. But if he's here and he's playing, I just can't imagine at that price and the way his recent form has been that most get on him, and I'm willing to take that chance. It'd be a great leverage play this week. It sounds like, you know, some of the stuff I've listened to, you know, guys that can hit it out there could have an advantage, but there's certain spots where they may want to lay back. It really doesn't matter to me. I just think I want to be early on him. And does he make the core? I don't know. Is he a great MME leverage play? I think absolutely. Thought he was last week. I did play him. But, again, what do you find out being like 6%, 7%? I had like 18% of them, you know, 3X the field. It doesn't kill my week that he missed a cut, but had he made the cut, you know, it makes a run on the weekend like some of the other guys did that barely made the cut, especially when you have tougher scoring conditions. This will be a little different. I don't mind taking that leverage. We'll see about tomorrow night. I may be, you know, do I just get off him completely? But I got to think if he's here, he probably wants to get some kind of good momentum going into the U.S. Open as well. So I like the price tag. I think he's going to be super low owned. Bubble boy for me is definitely Rory. Today makes it even – I obviously wrote all this up basically last night and was ready to go this morning. Prior to today, I would have thought he would be very high owned in this field. I don't know how much love Sam Burns would get. I don't mind fading the Sam Burns. You know, he's a boomer bust guy. He can definitely win, and he's showing some form. 6th and 16th, a 4th here last year at a different course. struggles on, you know, stat wise, he's like mid pack 40th, but recent form is good. Course fit, which I pulled in 6 or 7 courses I felt were similar to this. He was actually number one. So he made sense, but I just wondered what the pool would be with Rory. It, you know, it's $1,000 difference there between those two. And I don't know that we've seen much, you know, bigger spread than that. Then 10-2 to Hatton. But if Rory withdraws, then that obviously would make Sam, I think, pretty good. I mean, he'll probably get chalky, and I really don't mind fading that. You know, maybe you go Hatton and move on, or fade the whole 10K range. There's only three of them at this point. But if he's playing Rory, and no, he's a bubble boy because I thought of ownership. I just wonder how many people go, where's his mind going to be? Is he going to be focused? Does he care? Again, back-to-back champ here, a seventh last week, a seventh at PGA. If we get leverage to play a Rory, assuming he doesn't withdraw, maybe we play him. That'll be a discussion for tomorrow night. Very interesting one. We'll see how that develops throughout the day. 8K range, Alex Svensson. Played some of them last week. He did miss the cut. Upside's there. 8,500 seems a little steep, but, man, this is one of those weeks where I talk about ignore the pricing because it's just there are some decent guys up top, but it does drop off. It's not a very deep field. And some of these guys are probably priced right. It's just hard to get over the sticker shop. So I just kind of sticker shock. So I just ignore it at that point. But a 40th at PGA, 21st last year at 21st, I'm sorry, at St. George. Missed cut last week, but still he's 25th in stats for me, 15th in recent form, 16th in the course fit, 19th in putting. There's just enough upside there for me that I don't mind going back to him at 8,500. Good bounce back week candidate as well. Keith Mitchell. Played him quite a bit last week. He's the one that got off to a really good start. He was like 3%, 4% owned. Then he had a really bad Saturday. He did not, I don't think he bounced back too much Sunday, but finished 48th. So either way, was just okay. But show him, you know, he's got upside. We know that. Seventh at St. George last year, 10th in good drives, 4th in good approach. Two of the key stats I'm looking at this week, you know, 30th in putting, 28th in the course, fit model I did. Enough solid there. 8,900 seems like a good price for him this week. I don't mind Mitchell at all. Michael Kim, 8,000 flat. Played him quite a bit here in the last month or two. We've seen, actually, probably like 3 or 4 months in the fall. You could see the upside coming back. And, you know, he's won on the tour. So he has that upside. He's definitely getting into his Twitter game. Be interesting to see what he's got to say today. You know, 6 at Charles Schwab. He didn't play last week. Stat wise, good to average to good on most, but 20th in irons, 25th in good approach, 32nd in good drives. Course fit, which is a little worrisome, but that goes back quite a bit as well. It's a longer model I pulled, and he just had such a bad run there after he won. Remember one time, like he missed like 20 straight cuts or something crazy, but putting 21st in the field, recent form 28th, and overall stats 31st. Good price. I don't mind that at all. Bubble Boy Nick Taylor. I really like everything about him. I guess the only maybe issue would be, you know, Canadian. Does he get love because of that? Because they're in Canada. I don't know. I don't know if that's a narrative or not. I could see him getting some ownership, though, 8,100. That'd be the only reason I don't play him. I just don't think anybody up here will get too much ownership, and especially the AK range tends to, when we don't have such a top heavy like we did last, or such a strong field like we did last week, it kind of can get glossed over because people want to get Rory Burns or Rory Hatton or Rory in 2 9K and then squeeze down with the 6 or 7K range that they like. He has missed back-to-back cuts, but you know, 28th here last year, 27th in 2019. Stat-wise, he's 14th in the field overall. Every stat category I'm looking at, he's top 35 or better, including 19th in good approach, 27th in irons, 24th in birdie or better, 16th in putting. All great stuff. So I'm assuming he'll be somewhat popular. That's the only reason why I kind of have him as a bubble boy. We'll see how it works out on ownership-wise, but that'd be the only reason why I would get off of him. Otherwise, I think he's a great play this week. 7K range, Vincent Norman, 7,500. Played him quite a bit back, you know, late fall, making the turn into the new calendar. 8th at AT&T, 48th at Charles Schwab. All the stats look great except for opportunities inside 18 feet. He's 2nd in good drives. He's a little bit more limited on the stats, but still 2nd, 22nd in irons, 3rd in par 5 DK scoring, 20th in birdie or better, 14th in good approach, putting 117th in the field. So that's kind of his weakness. But at 7,500, all those positives in a somewhat weak field, once you get past the top, I don't mind that at all. I'll go some Vincent Norman, $7,500. Dylan Wu, I had a question mark withdrawal here, not because of anything today. It was, you know, grinded out a playoff victory yesterday or last night to get into the U.S. Open, playoff in the qualifier. And so he's one of those guys that was late last night that he qualified. And I hadn't seen a withdrawal from him, but he definitely was a guy I was like, well, he got in. He could be like, I'm out. I'm just going to go focus on U.S. Open. But if not, I like him a lot. 7,000, obviously playing pretty well lately. Missed some cuts, but he's really been good tee to green. Kind of a good overall game. He's just been a little off when you deep dive into him. Stat-wise, though, third birdie or better, 16th in par 5 DK scoring, 5th in good approach, 23rd in irons, 39th in good drives. I mean, he's 10th in my entire stat model, 27th in putting, 24th in recent form. I like a lot about him at 7K. I just hope he stays and plays or plays this week. I'm not 100% where he qualified, but I hope he does play. Glad he got into the U.S. Open. He'll be one of those low 6K, mid 6K guys that we could take a look at next week as well. Carson Young just been playing really good golf. He's in as well already. He qualified the Monday before the Charles Schwab and got some steam because of it, but and did well. 21st at Charles Schwab, 14th at Byron Nelson. 31st in good drives, 28th in birdie or better, 18th in good approach, all solid stuff. And the price is still fair at $7,100. I'll definitely have some Carson Young this week. Bubble boy, Harry Hall. I'm not worried about him getting ownership. He did get a lot of TV time there at the Charles Schwab where he, you know, wound up finishing third. The putter was really hot that week, but he did show, he does have some good life in the irons and driver as well. 15th in birdie or better, 37th in irons, 37th in good approach. The good drive part can be a little off at times. 79 is a mid pack in the field there, but 22nd in putting, we saw that. 34th in recent form, 4th in the course fit model, which is impressive to me. So $7,600, I definitely don't mind taking some chances there. I don't think he'll get high owned. I just had him as a bubble boy because, you know, he did have some recent success. People could go, oh, look, you got third at Charles Schwab. You know, I'll take some of that. Coming in good form, but I don't mind playing him whatsoever. 6K range, again, very thin down here. Not a lot I like. And there's, what did I say, 84 right now. There's probably going to be more if they add. I expected them to add this morning like they typically do. So a lot. It's really, you know, finding the ones you really trust here. But I like Chapel, $6,900. You know, his upside is really, really good. We know that. Hasn't played a ton, but, you know, first in par 5 DK scoring, 30th in good drives. Then he's just kind of average. The approach game is really what's been killing him. So if he can get the irons going, you know, remotely decent, he really has a chance, you know, upside. 34th in stats, 29th in recent form, mid-pack in putting, mid-pack in course fit, a little bit above, actually, on both of those. Again, these prices down here and the guys down here, you're going to have a weakness in all of them, and it's really just, you know, kind of who you're comfortable with. Vince Whaley is number two for me in this range. You know, more of a kind of a fall swing, you know, lesser tournament type guy, which again, this is kind of like that. $6,800, boom or bust type of guy for sure. And this week, I think there's some of those. Let me get deep. Some of those we just got to take chances on the boom bust type stuff. Recent form hasn't been great. 35th at St. George last year though, but stats he's really good. Approach is a way off, especially, you know, very good approach, but opportunities inside 18 feet first, 5th in birdie or better, 14th in good drives, 10th in par 5 DK scoring. Upsides there, you know, we get a good iron week, just kind of like Chapel. I don't mind him at all at $6,800. I don't know how many 6K guys I wind up having. Outside of Rory, if you don't go there, you could really live in that balance mode this week. Let's say Rory withdraws and it really becomes you get a good balance week. If you want to go that route, I'm not sure I go to Rory either way, but if I start getting leverage on Rory, cause people are wondering what's going to happen, then I may go that route. My opinion is if he tees off, he's going to play. Now, is he focused and all that? Don't know that, but, we'll see how that comes about. Lucas Glover shot an amazing first 18 yesterday on his qualifier, then kind of let it go on the second 18, missed a putt to go, make the US Open at the end. But $6,700 for him seems like you know, a good price this week. 11th in course fit, 41st in recent form, you know, 14th in opportunities inside 18 feet, 46th in good approach, 47th in irons. enough there that, you know, we saw him blitz the first 18 in his qualifier yesterday. You have the upside there. Again, $6,700. If I'm going to take a chance, I don't mind it. Smotherman's my bubble boy, only because he can get steamed up at times. He's like one of the kings, one of the new kings, a first round leader, or kind of always up there. He seems to blitz out on Thursday and just can't put a weekend together to save his life. Because of the upside there, if he does put it together a weekend, I don't mind taking chances. 21st at Charles Schwab, 44th here at St. George last year. His stats are just okay. He's basically just average, a little bit below in some, a little bit above in others. And mainly just because he can't put it all together for four rounds. Like, he has really good rounds and then just falls apart one side or another. At his price, I don't mind it. Unless he gets any kind of ownership in the 6K range, then I'm not eating any kind of 6K chalk this week for sure. Fade of the week for me, potentially Rory. Like I mentioned earlier, we'll see how that ownership is. If he was going to be the highest, kind of like we would think in a field like this, we've seen when there's kind of one big stud, then I would probably be off him. And then burn. So I kind of between those two. Now, if Rory was to withdraw just with everything going on and burn sticks, now he's super chalky as being the highest price and he rates out fairly decent, that maybe he's the guy we fade. I'll update that more tomorrow once we kind of see what happens tonight. Sleeper of the week, SH Kim. I love his swing. I love watching him when he's on. I think he's close to, he's not going to win or anything like that, but at $7,300, you know, 41st last week, 50th at AT&T. He kind of flirts around there, and he has enough upside, enough things that I like, and just and more of a gut feel, you know, with my eyes versus stats and numbers. I mean, he still rates out 33rd in the field for me this week, so he's not horrible. And at that price, I'm willing to take a chance there. And I still think he comes in low ownership, that 5% or less range. Gut feel plays for me, Batia, 7,200. Aaron Rye, 7,600. CT Pan, 7,100. And then Cole, Eric Cole. He could probably get some love this week, but 7,900. Has proven himself in tougher conditions, scoring conditions, you know, which, you know, tells me he can play a game, you know, a little bit different than, you know, any kind of conditions can fit his game. He's fourth in irons, ninth in birdie or better, 24th in opportunity side, 18 feet, 14th in putting. We know he can putt, 29th in good approach. You know, his biggest weakness, 95th in good drives. We're not sure how much driving is going to impact this week. So that may not be a big, hurdle for him, but 23rd, 15th, miscut, 24th coming in. So really good for him. He's seventh in the field in recent form overall for me. I like him as the final gut fill play this week. Betting top five that pop in two long shots. Links in the description for underdog and prize picks. Dollar for dollar match up to $100 for gut. They have all kinds of stuff going on right now. NBA, they'll have finals stuff for tomorrow. NHL, if you're into that. Certainly golf. I'll give out my prize picks tomorrow, and I give them out nightly as well. And then best ball for underdog. You know, they're ramping up with tons of contests. The $15 million one is out already. Massive contest for this fall in NFL. Top five for me right now, I'm kind of in the middle of the board. Svensson, 50. Cole, 60. Michael Kim, 80. Mitchell, 35. Nick Taylor, 65. We'll see if I want to go to any of these, you know, flirting there, kind of 15 to 20 range, your Cam Youngs, your Fitzpatricks. I was hoping to see some drift on at least one of them. Hopefully Rory doesn't withdraw, because if he does, then all this stuff crashes. I'll take a look at that, you know, this evening, early this evening, and see what we do there. Two long shots I like, Carson Young, 125 to 1, and Dylan Wu, 150 to 1 right now. Preliminary one and done, I like Rose, Fitzpatrick, Hatton, Mitchell, and Cam Young. Not a big prize pool here, but, you know, if you're just trying to get a winner, and all these guys should be fairly available to most. I think you can take a little bit of a chance this week. If you have Rory, I don't know if I'd use him here. I'd probably save him for one of the majors or an elevated event. But all these others, I think you're pretty much available for sure. I'll be around tonight, deep dive, back tomorrow, final thoughts. May see if Kenny Kim wants to do E9, everything going on. Normally we kind of take this break off. We got the big week next week. Salaries will be out early, probably Thursday or Friday, and we'll start getting that stuff out as well. If you got any questions, let me know. Looking forward to the rest of the day. See what happens. Should be a fun one. And fun week in general. Could be crazy by the time we get tomorrow. We could have 8-10 withdrawals today. People just upset, frustrated, whatever, and really change things around. Some people may check out and just go, I'm going to take this week off. And maybe that gives us, you know, potential overlay or groupthink type stuff. Really should be a fun week in general. Hope you guys have a good Tuesday, and we'll talk to you soon.